Beautiful, guys. That was beautiful. You know, there's a powerful message there. It reminds me of the life of Christ. Everything that Christ did in his time on this earth was to accomplish his Father's will. His life, all of it, was a life of servitude. It was a life that was given for others. Every moment was sacrificed in the life of Christ. And as I listen to the words of that song, I can't help but think about something that I've never really thought about before in this way. We all know that Christ, he had his father's trade, which was the carpenter. And for the first time, I'm thinking about that as, wow, the parallel, the connection there, to think that how many times Christ must have worked with wood and to put fashion two pieces together and to be the one to drive those nails. Just as you think about it, he says that no man takes my life from me, but I lay it down of my own. When those nails were being driven through his hands, Christ was driving them. He could have stopped them if he wanted to. He allowed it to happen. Wow. It's a powerful message there. Thank you for that. That was great. Well, today, our message this morning is on forgetting the former things. Forgetting the former things. Now, as we read through the scriptures, as we read through the Word of God, there is a great deal of emphasis placed on remembering. Remembering the mercy of God, the goodness of God. Remembering the things that He has done, the things that He is doing and will do. Remembering His covenant promises. You see, there are things throughout our faith-filled lives that the Lord asks us that we are to remember and that we are to call to mind, to continuously have on our hearts. Some of those things, though, the Lord wants us to forget. There are some things, the former things, that we are to place behind us, that we are not to call to mind anymore. Things which the Scriptures tell us that we are to forget. Join me as we pray for the message this morning. Father God, we come to you this morning to, first and foremost, Lord, to thank you, for you are the sovereign God. You are the Almighty. You are worthy of power and praise and honor and glory, Lord, and we give that to you this morning. Father, we thank you for the many blessings that you've given us, Lord, for those that are able to come here today to come together and to worship in your house, Lord, to have fellowship one to another, to give praises to you, the only true and mighty King. Father, we thank you for the blood that was poured out on Calvary, Lord, for that all who believe may have forgiveness of sin, Lord, that we could come to you, Lord, that we could be reunited, that separation caused by sin removed. Father, we thank you eternally for that gift of grace. Father, this morning I pray for those who have gathered here and for others who could not be here this morning, Lord, that your hand of blessing would be upon them. Father, that the church would be the vessel, Lord, the means by which you have your will accomplished, your plan, Lord, that we would be partakers of the plan and the work that you have for us, Father, that you'd be well pleased with our lives, both in the public eye and at home in private, Father. Lord, this morning I pray for the message. I ask that you would help me, Lord, for you know that I am just a man and that I often fumble my words and I lose my train of thought, as we all do, Lord, but I ask that you would help me to have clarity of thought, to have clarity of speech, Father, that you would open our ears and our hearts to receive the message that you have for us, Father, that it would be a change initiative in our life, Lord, things that we would take out from here and that it would be powerful and moving in our lives, that we would move forward with your plans and leave those things behind us which we ought to leave behind. Father, we pray for that man in Kentucky who lost his life. We pray for his family that they'd have comfort, Lord, and you would console them, that you would provide and bless them, Father, in this hard time. Father, we pray for those among the church that are having hard times, that are dealing with health or finances or relation. Lord, you know the things on our hearts this morning. We pray for them. Father, use us in a mighty way that you'd be glorified. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Well, this morning, if you would please join me, we're going to go to the book of Isaiah. We're going to find ourselves this morning in chapter 43 of the book of Isaiah. Turn there with me now, if you would please. When you get over to Isaiah, if you would please, 43, we're going to go to verses 18 and 19. Verses 18 and 19 of Isaiah 43. So this is the primary scripture, the primary verse that our message is centered around this morning. Let me read this with you. So 43, 18 and 19. It says, "Remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall ye not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert." Now, in this verse, here in Isaiah, God is, of course, speaking to his people. He is speaking to the Israelites, right? And he's talking to them about how he's about to do something new, something that he hasn't done before. This new thing is going to be unlike the other things. He's telling them to forget the past, forget the former things, and focus on this new thing, this thing which is to come. Now, this is encouragement that we can use today in our own lives. You see, just because it's in the Old Testament doesn't mean that it doesn't apply to us today. For as we all know, God is the eternal. He is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Therefore, the things that God says, his truth, is always the truth. So let's take a look at this thing that we can find encouragement from, this thing that we also need to focus on, the new thing that God that is coming here. You see, he does not want us to focus or even to call to mind past transgressions. He doesn't want us to call to mind or to focus on our past failures in any respect. He doesn't want us to be contemplating or thinking of the old life, the life that we had and the person that we were before Christ became our Lord and Savior. You see, Christ is always Lord, but it's not until that time of that moment of salvation, that moment when we acknowledge Christ as Lord, that he becomes our Lord, that we make him the Lord of our lives. And when that happens, it's very clear, lives change. Nothing like the gospel, nothing like Christ can change your life. This is true for my own, as well as anyone here who has that relationship with Jesus. Anyone who has that relationship with God knows the power of change that God brings. How things that were are no more and things become new. That's the primary message of this morning. You see, our past transgressions, they're under the blood of Christ. When we come to the Lord, all sins are washed away. All those past failures, those past regrets, those hard times, they're done with. Well, hard times when it comes to the struggles that we have in this world with sin. You see, the battle is already won. There's a victory there. We often struggle against them on our own power. We continue to fight a war that's already been won. But he says he wants us to forget the former things. If you would turn with me now, we're going to go over to the New Testament. We're going to see where this same idea, this same scripture is supported. It's paralleled. It's said again in the New Testament. Go with me to 2 Corinthians, if you would, please. So go over to 2 Corinthians, and we're going to head on over to chapter 5 this morning. All right, 2 Corinthians, chapter 5. We're going to go to verses 17, and we're going to read 17 through 19 this morning. So here in the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 5, verse 17 through 19, talking about being a new creature in Christ, a new creature. It says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away." Special emphasis, I want us to focus our attention on that language, that terminology there, passed away. "Behold, look, all things are become new, and all things are of God." What things are of God? It's talking about all those new things. Remember, because the old things, they're passed away, they're gone. The things of God are these new things. They're all of God. "Who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation." We're going to talk about that here in just a moment. Verse 19. "To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation." Now, this word of reconciliation, we know that Christ is the word, right? This word of reconciliation, it's what makes us this new creature in Christ. I want us to look at that, the language that was used there when it says passed away. Old things are passed away. This is the terminology, the same verbiage, the language that we use when we speak of those who die, when we speak of those who have left this life, right? We say they have passed away, right? So the vision, the idea, the illustration I want us to get in our mind is that the old man, the old person that we used to be before Christ, they're dead and buried, all right? No longer are their works happening in this world. They're done with. They're put aside. They're buried. They're gone. And with them go their sins, their wrongs. And now this new creature is all of God. God is in you completely. All of the newness of life that we walk in is by God's grace. That's the message that the author is trying to give us this morning. It means that they're gone, and we need to move on and leave them there and not struggle against them. Let me read something that I wrote, and then I'll illustrate something for you here. We often get focused on our past failures, on our past mistakes. We tend to call to mind the people, the places, and the struggles that serve as obstacles for us in our past. Now, these things can be a multitude of things. It could be people and places and struggles. It can be those things which we run to, those sins that we used to love, the sins that we fall into from time to time today. We often think back on those times. We have a tendency to do that. But here's the problem. These memories, these recollections of the former self, whenever we think of this old life, it causes us to continue struggling. It causes us to desire. It causes us to focus on a battle, on a struggle that Christ has already overcome for us. And it causes us to question our faith. It can cause us to question who we are. But the Lord has told us that He has forgotten those things, and we should do the same. You see, here's how it causes us to question our faith. Here's how it causes us to question who we are. I know that I myself have struggled with this in my life at times. Now I know better, but there was a time when I struggled greatly. After we come to Christ, for all of us who are saved, we still fall into sin sometimes. We're still not perfect. The Lord is still doing that perfect work in us to that sanctification process that we've spoken of is still happening. We still make mistakes, right? Now, it shouldn't be the same that we were prior to Christ. Our life is indeed changed, but we are not yet perfect in the sense of we don't sin anymore at all. Now, myself, I have struggled in my life at times whenever I've fallen into sin after coming to the Lord, and I've had to look back and say, this is what the devil does. He's the accuser, right? He causes us to ask ourselves, well, if I'm still sinning, if I'm still messed up and we feel horrible about it and the guilt is upon us and we feel like I can't even go to the Lord in prayer right now because I know that I did wrong. I'm so ashamed of it. The devil wants us to think that, well, maybe I'm not saved. Maybe it was all for nothing. Maybe the Lord really didn't come into my life that day. Maybe I'm just not good enough. Maybe it didn't stick, so to speak. We call to mind, and it makes us question our faith in God. It questions who we are. You say, am I really a child of God? If I'm still messing up, if I'm still not feeling like I'm a saint, can I be? You see, those are lies. Those are lies that the devil wants us to have in mind because he wants to draw us away from God because God will never leave or forsake us. That's his promise. You see, but the Lord tells us, he says, don't think on those things. They're done with. They're gone. Indeed, the work that he did is once for all. It's a done deal. So the first thing I want you to remember is that God has forgotten our sins. That's point one this morning. God has forgotten our sins. We're going to talk about that term forgetting, right? To forget and to think to ourselves, well, how can God forget them? If he forgets them, is he all-knowing? How does that work, right? We kind of have a hard time putting that in our mind if we really think about it. How does that work? How can you forget something, therefore not know it, yet be all-knowing? Well, before we talk about it, let's go look at some scriptural verses here that reinforce that, so you know that this is what God's Word says. First of all, back in Isaiah 43, where we were a little earlier, Isaiah 43, verse 25 says this. This is God speaking. He says, I am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake, and will not remember thy sins. You say, well, that's the Old Testament. Is that still applied today? Where's that in the New Testament? Well, if you want to see that in the New Testament, hop on over to Hebrews. All right, come with me to Hebrews, right? We're going to go to chapter 8. We're going to read verse 12 in Hebrews. And then I want to talk to you just a moment about God's memory, how this works. So Hebrews chapter 8, verse 12 says this. Again, the Lord is speaking. He says, for I will be merciful unto their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. So there we have that same language, that same promise, that same statement being made in the New Testament as we have in the Old Testament, God speaking of his mercy, of his goodness, of how he will no longer remember the sins, no longer remember those transgressions, right? Well, here's how that memory thing works. I have a hard time imagining that God would not know something. I have a hard time imagining that God actually forgets them. I believe that what the scripture is trying to tell us, what the language is saying when it says he forgets, is it's as if he forgets them. He no longer calls them to mind. He no longer holds them against us. He no longer brings those things up. It is as if they are forgotten. They're gone. They're buried. They're done. Okay? That's what it's trying to tell us, that these things are as if they are forgotten. He doesn't hold them against us. They're done with. Now, this is an important lesson to learn. This is an especially important lesson for those times when we fall and we fail and we think back on those hard times, on those times when we were not what we ought to be, when we were not living the life that we should, those times when we struggle. Guilt causes us to look at who we once were. You see, Satan is called the accuser for a reason. He's the one that wants to keep bringing up the past. He's the one that wants to tempt us into doing wrong today, and when he can't do that, he brings up the wrongs from yesterday. That's his goal. He wants to accuse us before the Lord. He wants us to feel as if God will not or cannot forgive, as if our actions have anything to do with God's power. You see, God, he blesses who he will bless, and his goodness is not dependent on our goodness. Aren't you glad for that this morning? That the goodness of God does not depend on how good we are. That's a powerful message. You see, the devil wants us to turn our back on God because God has already promised he will not turn his back on us. He promises that if we believe, then we will receive. And the great thing about a gift is it can't be ungiven. God's gift is a gift that we receive, and it's forever. One of my favorite verses is Romans 8, 38 and 39, a well-known verse, but it makes it quite clear that once we have received Christ, it cannot be lost. I'll read it for you now. 8:38 of Romans tells us this, 38 and 39. It says, for I am persuaded, that word term persuaded means I'm convinced, I am sure, I am certain that neither death nor life, anything in them, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Aren't you thankful for that? Because you see, when those nails, as the song that was sang this morning, I'm thinking of that. That's that powerful imagery is still in my mind. When those nails nailed Christ to the cross, it was permanent. He didn't get up there to pay for sins and then get down and he wouldn't do it again. That cross, that nailing, that is a permanent fixture. You see, God paid once for all, and it's not going to be undone. So the first thing that I want us to think about this morning is that God has forgotten our sins. They're done with. Leave them in our past. This brings us to our second point this morning. And the second point this morning is we need to look forward, not back. We're going to look forward and not back. Now, Philippians 3:13. Here's the verse that I come to think of when I think of this topic, this point here. Philippians 3:13 says this. Brethren, that's speaking to the church, the body of believers. He says, I count not myself to have apprehended, to have obtained, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. See, he's forgetting the latter, which is what our first topic was. Then what? This comes to our second point. He says, and reaching forth unto those things which are before. He says, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You see, Paul is making a very important statement here. The first point that we had this morning was that God has forgotten our sins, and we need to as well. We need to leave that life and those things behind us. But the second point is what Paul brings out here when he says, and reaching forth unto those things which are before me. He is moving toward what God has next in his life. He's moving toward God's goals. He's moving toward the work that God has set before him, which is the same thing that you and I need to do in our lives. When those struggles come, when those things come to mind, when you start to question things like that, stop. Leave them where they are in the past. And instead, remember that God has forgotten them. So should we. And instead, focus on what God has for you today and tomorrow. Focus on what God is about to do. Focus on what God is about to do. You see, the reason that God wants us to forget the former things is so that we can focus our attention on the things to come. I put a note here about looking forward and not back. Pondering our past paralyzes us in the present, and it prevents our future. When we focus on our past, it kind of freezes us right in the moment that we are because we can't work toward God's purpose in the future for us because we're still focusing on those things. So we're paralyzed here in our present. And it prevents us from reaching God's plan for us in the future. It prevents us from doing the things that we ought to be doing because we're still busy living that past life. We're still busy thinking on that. The second reason is because looking back causes the flesh to reminisce. We must walk in the newness of life, produce fruit, spread the gospel message, and be the salt and light of the world. You see, we can't achieve this to our fullest potential unless every bit of our effort, every bit of our energy, every bit of our heart and desire, our attentions must be focused on the fruit that we're to be bearing, must be focused on God's plan for our lives, not on the past. Count those things as dead and live for Christ. I want to use the same illustration that Paul uses here. I'll read you the scripture verse that Paul uses, and then I'm going to explain this a bit to kind of show what we're talking about here. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 24 through 27, Paul speaks about athletes. He uses this illustration of an athlete. He says there, starting in verse 24, he says, know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Oh, I skipped a line there. So I fight not as one that beateth the air, but I keepeth my body and bringeth it into subjection, lest that by any means I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Let's take a look at what he's trying to tell them. You see, the Roman games, the Olympics, they started a long time ago, right? And one thing turned into the other. They aren't the same thing. But these athletes, They were professional athletes, much like we have today. And I would imagine that there's quite a few athletes in here today. I can see a couple of you here right now. All right? Athletes know that it is not easy. You can't just go out there and compete against these other athletes and think that you're going to win. What does an athlete do when they're preparing for this great contest, when they're preparing for that next game, when they're preparing for the next competition? They practice, they focus, they train hard, focusing on what's to come. Their mind is set on the prize, on winning the game, on getting that Super Bowl ring, on whatever it is, right? Their mind is focused on winning that prize. And so the moments leading up to that, they could train for months, years, depends on what it is, on what the competition to be is, right? The illustration he's using here, he's using that to make a parallel, to show us that our lives, we're in that training time right now. You and I, all of God's children are in that training time. We must do as Paul says. He says, I bring my body under subjection. You see, he's talking about a number of things, but what I want us to focus on here is that our minds need to be set upon that incorruptible crown that's going to be given on that day when we come to see the Lord. Our lives should be lived with that we are looking to the future. Notice he says, I am not one who beateth the air. In other words, he doesn't waste his time. All right, he's not working and just going through the motions. He's training himself. He's bringing himself under control and to focus on the things that God has for him. That's what we have to do, but we can't do that if we're still thinking of things that are behind us. We have to focus on the plan ahead and let that be the thing that takes our attention. That be what we use our energy on. That be what we train toward. And that thing, of course, is God's will in our lives, God's purpose in our life, His plan for our lives. These are the things that we need to be thinking about. So see, we can see how the athlete there is used in this way. I've noted that in life, I believe failure is one of our greatest teachers. Failure is something that none of us enjoy. No one likes to fail at something. However, anyone who's been around for a little while will tell you that failure often teaches you those lessons that are not easily forgotten. When we fail, when we fall down, we fall into sin, it's important that we remember this. We need to get up, dust ourselves off, so to speak, and to go back to the work that God has for us. It's an important lesson, not to let your heart be troubled over the weakness or the fall, but to think, okay, I fell. It's time to get back up. Know that the Lord has promised that I'm forgiven, and I need to get back up there and work out there and do the work that God has for me in my life. I say that because I don't want failures, these bumps in the road, to keep us from reaching what God has for you. So the first thing is remember that God has forgiven or has forgotten our sins. The second thing is to look forward, not behind. And our third point, our final point this morning, is that when you do look behind you, I want you to see Christ. I want you to know that Christ is standing behind you. He's before you and He's with you. When you look back on those times in your life when you say to yourself, God, how could you love me? The man that I was, the woman that I was, the things that I've done, Father, how can you love me? How can I be called your child? When you look back that way, I don't want you to focus on the failures. I want you to focus on Christ. That's what I want you to see. That's what God wants you to see, is Christ when you look behind you. A couple of verses there. 1 Peter chapter 2, 24 and 25 tells us this. He says, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, speaking of Christ, of course, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness. In other words, those things are left behind us. Our newness of life, our new life should be a life of righteousness. By whose stripes ye were healed. For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned to the shepherd and the bishop of your souls. You see, because of Christ, we're no longer gone astray. We are adopted into the family of God. We're children of God. Deuteronomy in the Old Testament says something quite similar, speaking of courage. 31:6 in the book of Deuteronomy says this, "Be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them, for the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee." See, this is a promise that, again, God made to his people in the Old Testament. But we are his people. That a promise still applies to us. And again, if you go to Hebrews, you'll see again that same promise being reiterated. We see the same language is used in relation to the church. I want you to know that God has been with you down every road you've been. He's with you on the road that you're traveling today, and he's going to be there with you on the road that you travel tomorrow. I know that life can be scary. I know that there are times in our life when hard trials come against us and that it shakes us a bit. We wonder where God is in those moments. We say, God, where were you when this happened? God, why is this happening now through all the time that I've walked with you? What's happening? When you look back, I want you to see Christ. When you look forward, I want you to focus on Christ. And wherever you are today, I want you to know that Christ is right beside you. He's promised to. This is the beautiful thing about the Lord, that he is with you in this life and he will be there with you in the next if you have Christ. See, the world isn't scary when you know the King. Amen? When you know the Lord, when you know, as Brother Keith brought up this morning, when you know the King of Kings is standing right beside you, there's nothing to fear, there's nothing to focus on except for his goodness. The story of Joseph reminds me of this. If you remember quickly, the story of Joseph is that he was a child who his family hated, and he went through many hard times. But all of those hard times, God was there with him. Even though I would imagine that Joseph probably had a hard time seeing God while he was in those hard times. God was able to use Joseph in a mighty way because Joseph continued to follow after God and his will. As we prepare to close out the service, there's a couple of things I want us to just kind of summarize over this morning's lesson. I want us to keep it in our mind, and then I want to bring something to you. So first of all, God has forgotten your sins. For those of you that are out there this morning that are like I used to be, if you're struggling with those things that you've done in your life, if they cause your faith to shake a little bit, don't be concerned. They're done. Leave them in the past. Don't let those things trouble your heart. God says they're under the blood and nothing can separate us from Christ. The second thing is that leaving them in the past, we ought to be looking forward. We ought to be looking forward to what God has next for us, to be used of God, to glorify God. And the final thing is that when that old accuser comes, when Satan does call to mind those things and those times when our heart takes us back, when we begin to reminisce on those things of days gone by, we need to see Christ. We need to see Christ standing there right behind us. He's taking care of it. If you believe on the name of Christ, then you have a Savior. He's your Lord. Your sins are washed away. The past is buried with Christ, and you now walk in newness of life. That's what happens when we come to the Lord. The old things are done. If you're struggling with your sins today, if you haven't been to Christ to receive the atoning blood that he poured out on Calvary, you know, see, the song this morning talked about the nails that were driven up on that hill. But see, those nails, the forgiveness that was poured out, the sacrifice that was made, we don't just get it, okay? It isn't just yours for no reason. There's only one thing that we have to do, and that's to believe. We have to have faith in Christ. He has to be our Lord and our Savior. If you haven't made him your Lord and your Savior this morning, then you're still struggling with your sins on your own. You're still fighting that battle. The problem with that is no one has ever won that battle but Christ. You see, there's a judgment coming. There's a time coming when the opportunity to partake of that free gift of grace is going to be gone for us. And it ends when this life ends. It's important that we come to Christ while we have that opportunity. If you have come to Christ, then you're walking in newness of life. Continue to do so. But if not, then in a moment, as the congregation sings, I invite you, come down here. I will tell you, I will show you from the Word of God how you can begin that relationship with the Lord, how your sins can be forgiven, how you can leave the old you behind, how it can be buried, how you can focus on the things that God has for you in the future. As the congregation plays, I invite you to come. This morning is something that I've been waiting for some time. I've had a couple of discussions with Chloe, and she's talked to me about her faith in God, and I told her, I said, well, you know, there's that time when you've got to stop talking about it, and you've got to decide that's your Lord. And this morning she came down, and she said, Dad, I want to be baptized. And I asked her about, well, what does that mean? And she said, well, Jesus is my Savior, and he paid for me on the cross. And I showed her the scriptures, and this morning, I know that she knows who the Lord is. Amen. Praise God. That's a joyful time. Have a seat, sweetheart. So we'll be planning that. Sorry. Would please, Tinker, would you pray for us tonight?